now, White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Here's the 1-2 pitch to Tim. A swing and a ground ball over the bag at third. His first major league hit. It's a double to the corner and left. Hey. Nice going, Tim.
This kid's gonna provide a spark, man.
Yeah, that's a fact, Frank.
Standing ovation for Tim Anderson. 2-2, a swing and a line shot, one hop. Anderson has it, off balance throw to first. Did he get him? He got him. What a play by Anderson. Swung on and lifted in the air to right center field. This hit well, going to the track. On the fence for at least a double. He's found another gear. He's going for third. Cano holds the ball. Triple for Anderson. Here's the first pitch, a swing and a high fly ball to left. This is his first major league home run. Turn on the fireworks here at Fenway. First pitch out of here, and Anderson goes deep over the Green Monster. In the hole between short and third, the throw across. Got him. Play of the game right there. Anderson, I didn't think he had a chance. He gloved it, jumped and threw him out.
Wow. That is as good as it gets. Nice job, Tim Anderson.
That highlight reel, all those highlights, courtesy of WLS, your home for White Sox baseball. Tim Anderson has a new contract with the White Sox, going to keep him in the pinstripes for quite some time. How about that, getting your first hit with Frank Thomas in the broadcast booth? I don't know, a little spooky, kind of crazy, pretty cool. You can enjoy all the benefits of being a White Sox season ticket holder by purchasing a prorated full or split season ticket package. To purchase a season ticket package, please visit WhiteSox.com or call 312-674-1000. I'm Connor McKnight. We got White Sox baseball in about an hour. Phone calls and tweets and whatnot coming up in just a little bit. But right now, we got to head out to the phone lines. There's somebody to call. So, White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson joins us here on White Sox Weekly. Tim, I know the last couple of weeks have been busy for you. Got to imagine an incredibly rewarding couple of weeks. First and foremost, congratulations, man. This has got to be awesome for you and the family and for the White Sox and their fan base. Congrats.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
What were the last couple of weeks like as we led up to you knowing that you're going to be, you know, in Chicago for the long term here, that this is a spot that you wanted to be in? And what were conversations like with you and your reps and with Rick Hahn and the Sox as you kind of decided that this worked for everybody?
The last couple of weeks has kind of been, you know, kind of up and down. I was big on I really wanted to get something did. And if we was going to get something did, I definitely wanted to get it did before the season start. As I talk with my family, they made the offer and we kind of started negotiating from there. So kind of been going on for like two and a half weeks. And we got to a point and I feel like that we was at that point to where, you know, it was time to pull the trigger. It's easier to say that when you want to pull the triggers, I feel like I was, you know, somewhere that I wanted to be, you know. If a lot of people look at it as in the money, and you know, I just wanted to, you know, get treated fair. I wanted to treat me with fair, you know, fair. You know, don't compare me to anyone else. I just wanted to be fair with whatever, you know, I was going to be secured with. And I feel like that they got to that level, and I just talked it over with my family, and we felt like it was a good position for me to pull the trigger and be in Chicago for the long haul.
It's interesting you put it that way, Tim. Talking with White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson now. He's going to be in Chicago for quite some time. You know, Tim, you put it that way, and it kind of makes me think these guys drafted you. You know, this organization mm-hmm. knows you as yeah. well as any organization could. And obviously, you know, with your story, being a basketball player for a while and being, you know, when you got to the minor leagues fairly young in baseball experience and now playing a premium defensive position – mm-hmm. I have to imagine that it feels good to know that you're with the organization that helped bring all of this out of you, as much as, you know, you knew you could do it from the get-go too.
Definitely. For them to draft me and for me to come up with the White Sox is just, you know, has been an honor. And I just never took anything for granted. And they put every opportunity in front of me that left to me to be successful and every connection as possible for me to get better. Just resources, everything is there. You know, they they took me in and just, you know, they paved the way for me, and you know, and it really paid off, and to this day, you know, it's still the same. You know, if I have a question, I know exactly who to go to. If I need an answer, I know who to go to. If I need anything, I know who to go to. And, you know, that means a lot, you know, because in today's world, man, it's tough to come by good people. And you know, and for them to really, you know, take me in and treat me the way they did is really been an honor.
Well, and it's no secret to baseball players that the landscape of this game can change so quickly. Whether you've got a contract or not, I have to imagine, though, you know, knowing that you have it, I don't know. I mean, things can change so fast. Did that weigh into, you know, your decision at all? I mean, the White Sox haven't made a secret about, you know, where they want to be down the line and getting a bit younger and more athletic. I wonder how that weighed into your discussions with either the family, with your agent. I mean, everybody wants to win.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it definitely weighed in on, you know, we see the moves, you know. We see the things that they're doing. We see the pieces that they're putting together. We see what direction they're trying to go in, and I definitely want to be a part of it. You know, like I said, it makes it a lot easier when you're somewhere where you want to be. You know, they're putting all the pieces together for us to, you know, do something special on the South Side, and for them to, you know, for me to start this thing off as in, you know, the contract wise, and it really means a lot. That means that I'm gonna be a big part of it, and I'm happy to be a big part of it, and I'm just, you know, honored and blessed and very thankful to be in the position that I am.
You've made it pretty clear that you're real excited about playing with Yoan Moncada when he makes it to the big leagues. You guys have looked good turning two. I mean, you're excited about it now. I mean, listen, when you get to camp and these moves have been made, and then you see some of these young guys, you play with some of the young guys, you watch. I think it was the second week of spring training, you singled. And then Moncada tripled, and there you are, you know, running around the bases, the both of you with all that stupid speed. I mean, that's got to make you feel good about where it is. Did actually seeing those guys and playing with those guys affect your opinion on where things were going?
You know, I look at it as if, you know, I'm more so on the talent side, man. I see it.
Yeah.
I see it there. You know, we know it's there, and is going to show, and you know, it just for a premium and such a talented guy like him, man, it makes it a lot easier for me to, hey, I want to play with him. You know, not going off what type of person he is, you know, just the way he plays the game and the way he respects the game, man. And I can say that for each and every one of his teammates, man. You know, we this spring has been, you know, has been great. You know, not just baseball wise, but as in team chemistry wise. You know, the way that we came together and still coming together and picking one another up, and just that brotherhood that we have, and that's definitely something that you would like to be around. You know, and nothing's like a good clubhouse when everybody's getting along and having fun and loving one another. And that's all credit to Rick Renteria, man. We're definitely a reflection of him, and he's definitely doing the right thing that lead us in the right direction.
Are you the kind of guy who sits down and has specific goals for a coming season? Is it more of a feel thing for you? How have you approached, you know, what's going to be your first full year in the big leagues this coming season?
You know, ultimately I have goals, but, you know, it's more so I play it by ear. You know what I mean? Like, of course I want the All-Star. Of course I want to be a Gold Glove winner. Of course, you know, the championship, that's definitely something that we're going after. But, you know, it's definitely play it by ear. You know what I mean? My mind is steady racing, and I'm changing each and every day. You know, I'm still figuring out who I am and the things that the way that I mature, you know. I can say that I mature, you know, very quickly, and that comes to help with, you know, being called up last year, you know, being around older guys and the way that I was raised, being around my mom and dad and the person that they molded me into today, you know. So my mind's steady, you know. I'm steady changing, and you know, as things happen, you know, you set goals. So I can say I play it by ear.
You've said you've had a couple of really strong role models in your life. Who was the first call to? I mean, I'm sure everybody was in the conversation as you were leading up to it, but do you remember making that one first call you were excited to make once the ink was dry?
It definitely, you know, more so when I first got the first offer, it just so happened my mom and my agent was in town. So,
that's awesome.
You know, it made it a lot easier for me to, after the ball game, to go out and for me to, you know, for me to hand that over to my mom, man, it ranks one of the top five things that ever happened in my life, man. And that really means a lot for me to, you know, that's is really someone you play for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I'm playing, that's someone that's in my heart, that this is who I want to do it for. So, you know, for me to, you know, I feel like I owed it to her. So I definitely, when I handed it over to my mom, man, it's definitely, it was a relief. It was just a happy moment for us to share together.
I've seen a couple of your teammates, a couple of friends get after you on Twitter. I think, and I had a conversation with Micah Johnson a couple of years ago. I know he's a hilarious dude, but he was hitting you up. I think there was a lunch bet that needs to be settled. You may owe him some. Who's been the funniest getting a hold of you so far?
Yeah, it was more so. He was like, "You owe me gas money, so can you Venmo me that money when you first signed? I gave you a couple rides to the field." So I kind of, you know, found that funny.
You get him back? Did you hit him back?
No. I didn't get him back. But I just said, man, this is funny. Yeah, but
you'll get him when you see him next time.
I'll meet him down the line.
Well, you know, you're gonna have to pick up a couple of things this season at some point on some road trip or in Kangaroo Court somewhere. That you're gonna have to, you know, account for this, Tim.
Yeah, definitely. I already know. I know it's coming, and I'm prepared for it. So
it's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have. Well, congratulations, Tim. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
No problem. Thank you.
White Sox spring training baseball is always live with MLB.com at Bat mobile app. Stay connected all spring with radio broadcasts, video highlights, stats, news, and more. Download MLB.com at Bat today. It's your number one app for live baseball. That's Tim Anderson. He owes Micah Johnson gas money, apparently. I think he'll pay up. I think everything will be fine. When we come back, a little bit of talk about Jose Quintana. And, well, I guess it's not a secret. There's no real point in making this big radio tease. Jose Quintana is going to be your opening day starter for the Chicago White Sox. We'll talk about it next on WLS AMA 90.
We spoke to Q today, and Q will be our opening day starter this year. And I thought you guys should have that since you've been asking and you've been patient. And, you know, good for him. He's very happy about it. I think he's obviously earned it.
That's a dream for me. You know, when I was a kid, one of my dreams was, make a big league. And now, you know, take a ball on opening day. So that's really good.
White Sox manager Ricky Renteria and White Sox opening day starter Jose Quintana are the voices you heard coming back. We appreciate Ricky letting us know. We were asking. We did want to know. And now we do know. It's not a surprise Jose Quintana's getting the ball on opening day. It is somewhat of a surprise, I suppose. I mean, 2 weeks before spring training started, rumors were all over the place, and the White Sox have not been shy about talking about it. Jose himself is not been shy about talking about it. It's been pretty impressive, to be quite honest with you, the way he's dealt with the pressures of potential trade rumors, the pressures of being an opening day starter, the pressures of being the top pitcher for Team Columbia in the WBC and throwing incredibly well, 5 2/3 against Team USA and just the one hit. I mean, the guy, it seems as though any kind of pressure you can find to apply to him, he just doesn't care. He just goes out there and pitches. Seven innings against the Reds in his first start since coming back from the WBC. Seven innings. I mean, first off, to get seven innings, I mean, I know he was on kind of an advanced ramp-up schedule to pitch in the WBC and potentially be available for a second start if Columbia should have moved on. But to go seven, you know, just breeze through that lineup. It's the Reds. They don't have a whole lot of expectations this year. I get it. Seven innings, two hits, three strikeouts. Holds a 1 ERA in spring. And Quintana is that guy, and he continues to impress me. I'll get to exactly how in just a second, but I want to let you know that you can join Ron Kittle Cherries for a cigar social with Jerry Reinsdorf at Biggs Mansion on April 13th. Special guests include Harold Baines, Ozzie Guillen, Bobby Hull, Ron Kittle, and Jim Tomei. All proceeds benefit Ron Kittle Charities. Visit ronkittlecharities.org to purchase tickets. That's awesome. I didn't pre-read this. You kidding me? Harold Baines, Ozzie Guillen, Bobby Hull, Ron Kittle, Jim Tomei, and Jerry Reinsdorf? And you just hang out smoking cigars and talking baseball with those guys? Somebody go to the website. Figure this out. Give me tickets. Come on. That's awesome. That's April 13th. That's awesome. Get yourself out to that. It came out that Jose Quintana, I'm always impressed by this. I have a fascination with guys who don't feature English as their primary language, as their first language. getting used to baseball blossoming, you know, playing really well, and then finding out how to express themselves in English. It's just I can't imagine how difficult that is, especially without, you know, in a lot of players' cases, without any kind of formal schooling in English. Not that you need that, or in any other language, whatever the second language is. But you don't need it, I suppose. Immersion, you would probably say, is maybe the best way to pick up a language to begin with. But, you know, to do it with everything else swirling around you. And we have found out this past week that Jose Quintana, you know, kind of learned his quality English control with listener Jimmy Fallon. I guess he was just kind of watching Fallon shows, and he'd leave that on late at night. I don't know, probably not after a start. It's probably getting to bed right after that. But that's kind of how he picked up the English language. I don't know. It's cool stuff. I am very impressed by the guy, and it'll be interesting to see. And we saw a couple of trade rumors pop up over the last week. The Yankees, I suppose, and a few other ball teams had some scouts out, and the White Sox have had their scouts at corresponding games. Listen, I think what I appreciate most about this whole process and about this spring has been the honesty and transparency with which people are operating in this organization. And I mean front office guys, I mean players, I mean coaches, corresponding scouts. I mean, it's one thing to kind of go through with the blinders on and, you know, we got to focus on playing White Sox baseball or, you know, whatever the line would be. That's all well and good and understandable. For sure, you got to get out there and you got to get the job done because you're not worth anything to your current club or whatever your next club might be if you are on the block, if you're not, you know, buckling down and getting things done. On the other hand, you know, to pretend it's not out there, to, you know, fake like it's this thing I haven't read anything about it. I don't know anything about it. You know, that rings hollow to me. And to the credit of a lot of guys in that clubhouse and in that front office and around baseball, nobody's running that way from this. And while that makes it perhaps somewhat more difficult, you know, to see Jose Quintana throw the way he's thrown, to see him kind of represent the way he's represented, hats off, I suppose. So while Q starts opening day, the rest of the rotation we can kind of surmise from when they've pitched last. Each guy will get another go through the rotation or another go in spring training. Q's going to pitch opening day. He went Thursday against the Reds. James Shields figures to line up for that second ball game of the season. Of course, the White Sox have the off day after opening day, so it's that 3:10 start on Monday, April 3rd. Off days on Friday, on Tuesday. Tuesday's after Monday. I don't think we've changed that. Wednesday, you get the Tigers. That'll be James Shields. Thursday, you wrap up with the Tigers, and that'll be Derek Holland making his first start as a White Sox. Miguel Gonzalez gets the ball on the 7th. That's the first game against the Twins. The 8th is your TBA start, with Carlos Rodon seemingly going to miss his first go through the rotation. Yeah, you know, we talked a lot about who might be factoring in and who might be fitting in that rotation. We're not quite sure of that right now. It'll probably take about a week to figure that out. And we might not know, honestly. You know, the White Sox could play some, you know, do a little gamesmanship with the roster and whomever that is. If it's not Dylan Covey, the Rule 5 guy who has to be on the opening day, the 25-man roster the entire season to keep him. You know, if it's not Covey and they go a different way, you could see them start with that extra bullpen arm perhaps, you know, for those first couple of days and then send him down and then bring up the guy, whomever it's going to be to start. There are options that the White Sox have as far as manipulating the roster, and it's just kind of a wait and see. But those are your first four: Quintana, Shields, Holland, and Gonzalez. Opening day, day off, and then the next three ball games with a TBA to be decided, to be announced, to be TBA to be decided, really. Good Lord, it's like it's my first radio show. 312-591-8900. Mailbags coming up in the last half hour. 3:05 first pitch between the White Sox and Indians. We had another half an hour, right here on White Sox Weekly, WLSAM.com.
WLS is more exciting.
Wade to the right, with a right-handed power dunk. Dwayne Wade, oh my goodness.
WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. Another half an hour before we get you to White Sox baseball. White Sox fans, join us as the White Sox take on the Cleveland Indians on Saturday, April 22nd at 6:10 p.m. The first 15,000 fans will receive a White Sox hooded sweatshirt. Ooh, that's hoodie sweatshirt day. April 22nd, 6:10 p.m. versus the Indians. First 15,000 fans get a White Sox hooded sweatshirt presented by Guaranteed Rate. Get your low, low mortgage rate at rate.com today. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com. I have seen the hoodie. I've seen pictures. I'm going to get one of those hoodies, I'll tell you that much. I'm going to weasel myself into a hooded sweatshirt situation, and I'm going to wear it for as long as the weather turns, until the weather turns around, which has been a weird go here in Chicago, but in Phoenix, everything seems fine. We got the White Sox and Indians coming up. Time to get into the mailbag. You have left us your questions, concerns, comments, and feedback, all other words I can think of, in the mailbag. At C1 McKnight is the Twitter handle. That's where you can leave us your thoughts and comments. You can always hit us up on the show, 312-591-8900. It's your show. I just, you know, sit here. And we want to get through some of the things that you've mentioned. So we head out to the mailbag, and it's at ArtAP85. Thoughts on fans. This is, here we go. It just gets back to some of the stuff we were talking about it, an honest kind of appraisal, an honest front to the season that the White Sox have kind of put out there, one that's an admirable one, or being honest, I guess, admirable about it. Thoughts on fans. This is from at ArtAP85. Thoughts on fans rooting for a tank season, all in for rebuilding. I find this an interesting one, and it's other people would kind of be touchy-feely with this, I guess, maybe beat around the bush some, and I just don't see the need to do it. You root for, first and foremost, you root for whatever you want to root for to get you through a season. It's 162 games. They're not all going to go your way. And you root for whatever you have to get you through it. You're not going to offend me if you're rooting for, I suppose the only thing you would root for that would offend anybody is somebody getting hurt. That would be, don't do that. Don't be that guy. Don't root for someone to break a leg or anything like that. Otherwise, you do whatever, you get behind whatever cause you want to get behind. That said, the tank season is an interesting kind of philosophy for me, right? It's been a subject of a lot of discussion over the last couple of years because I think primarily, or at least off the top of my head, there have been two organizations that have, I mean, let's face it, actively tanked, whether you want to use that word or not, actively tanked and got themselves back into a renewable farm system situation, back into a situation where they're now spending on free agents, and back into a situation where postseason runs and titles have happened. It's no secret who I'm talking about. I'm talking about last year's champions, the Cubs, and on the other side in the American League, the Houston Astros. There are other teams that are doing it. The San Diego Padres are doing something. I think it's a they certainly don't look good. I mean, and they've been honest about that too. I think pretty upfront. They've got three Rule 5 guys on that 25-man roster, the Padres, that are likely going to be on that roster. I can't think of a team that's had three Rule 5 guys make an opening day roster, and the Padres look like they could do it. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I think it kind of tells you what the expectations are for a team in a coming season. Now listen, and I think we've talked about this quite a bit, especially with the Sale trade and the Eaton trade after it. Shortly after it. And I know a lot of people have called about it. I find it an interesting place that the White Sox are in. Because unlike that Astros team, that Cubs team, when they decided to go on the paths that they were on, the White Sox had elements on that roster that are premier, that are top-tier kind of elements, whether that be Sale, whether that be Eaton, whether that be Quintana, and they had value added to them, although I don't know how much more value you could add to Chris Sale. But a contract like that, like a Sale deal, like a Q deal, like a deal that the White Sox just gave Tim Anderson, not that I think he's had it anywhere, but that only enables you to recoup more in trade. Rickon has said it a couple of times that if he had his druthers, and my goodness, we've used that phrase a lot, if he had his druthers, there'd be more moves made. And indeed, there might be moves as early as, I mean, theoretically, if you got this right deal, and with what Han has said, he's not going to be shy about doing things. It just has to be the right thing for this team, for the future. You don't just, and we've had some phone calls and some conversations about what that roster is going to look like, you know, the 25-man roster. There was one caller, I think it was Dimitri last week, who was talking about, you know, Matt Davidson, and if he's not having a great spring, do you let him go? And I'm thinking, I'm going, look, he's out of options. why remove that option from yourself? You know, why, as a team, why give up on a guy that you can't get back, that is there and there are bats for him? Why not figure out what you have? Don't let go of something. That's kind of what I'm getting to here. Don't let go of something just for the sake of letting it go. Because as you start this process, this rebuilding process, every little bit helps, right? Every little asset that you have to flip and turn and move helps you down the line. Because it might not be the move, the next move that you make that brings you back that next big piece, but it could be kind of a culmination of things. You know, maybe this move gets you a role player here, a guy who's going to, you know, grow into a fourth outfielder spot. Some team needs that fourth outfielder spot down the line. That's a move that you make, and boom, you've got your also-ran, you know, your second guy in a deal that turns into an NL Cy Young Award contender. We saw that happen last season. It's the deep kind of scouting. I'm getting a little sidetracked, I suppose, when it comes to the question, but it's that deep kind of scouting of other team systems and knowing your own that helps make that rebuilding process a fuller one and a deeper one for the rest of the system. I think, you know, as we go this season, there are big days already. Not only is White Sox Hoodie Day a big day, right? But there are other days that massive. But there are other days that you want to mark on the calendar. Unfortunately, I can't tell you when these days are, right? It's the call-up of Moncada, when and if that happens. It's the call-up of Giolito. It's the call-up of Lopez. It's Fulmer coming back up. Those are big days. We just don't have them on that White Sox magnetic schedule quite yet, which you can get opening day. The day that they decide, I mean, if these trades do come that Rick Hahn has talked about, those are huge days. Those are franchise-defining days. Hahn mentioned that when he was on the show a couple of weeks, months ago, I guess, after the Sale deal. Said it again after the Eaton deal. When I was down in Phoenix, when we were talking to him then about the future of this franchise and where things were going and how call-ups were going to work, he mentioned it then. Those are big days. And I think what's cool about this process for the Sox and how it differs from some other process that we've seen take a good long time to churn and get going and finally find the rails to success is that this thing could be a little bit different because of where these prospects were in their development curves when the White Sox got them. And I know that the conversation has been, you know, that Rick has said a number of times, we're closer to the beginning of this than we are to the end of this. And I get that. There's due diligence in that. You never know as you get a guy from another ball club exactly where he's going to be at. Not really. Not till you get your eyes on him. Not till you have the conversations with him. Talking with Don Cooper about this a lot. But the development that he's kind of talked about, or the comfort that he's kind of talked about with between him and pitchers, it takes time to develop. He's got to know how Lucas refers to his curveball, what his keys are for that pitch. He's got to figure out how Lopez likes to work a fastball and how we can change, how they can work that philosophy, a White Sox philosophy of pitching, together with the things that Lopez already does well. Coop's talked a lot about finding out, you know, what do you do well? What is it that you've got you can always go to get outs? All right, let's take that. Apply it to this general philosophy that we've had top down through the organization, through the system that's gotten every ounce out of just about every pitcher you could imagine. Well, every pitcher on a scope that the White Sox have had. And let's pull that out and put that into a game. That takes time. And as you know, look to build depth in that system, it's about finding the guys that you think, oh, that guy does this really well. That thing applies pretty directly to our general philosophies, what our coaches and scouts can bring out of him. That guy's going to work. That's who we got to go after. Long answer to a very short mailbag question. One more here from at Digman David. The power last season was a bit of a surprise. This is his question. The power of last season was a bit of a surprise for Tim Anderson. What do you attribute that to? Interesting question. Tim had a couple of dingers last year, I think 9 of them in total. Yeah, 9. And then also had 22 doubles and 6 triples for a slugging percentage of .432. If you look through his minor league numbers, he slugged a career .426. which for a shortstop is fine. You know, you could go for a little bit more power, and certainly there are shortstops. You know, you think of Carlos Correa, Francisco Lindor last year, Xander Bogaerts off the top of my head probably had a better slug than that. But for Tim, who's just kind of coming into this and finding his own, first of all, I think guys don't access, by and large, I think guys don't access the power in their own swings till maybe 3 years into the big leagues. There are exceptions, obviously. It's baseball. There always are. But I think power is something that more slowly develops than you might think. With 9 home runs last year, and he had, in Birmingham, had himself 5 home runs. That's double A. And I think, and I talked about this with Chris Getz a couple of weeks ago on the show, and I talked about it some with Rick Hahn. Although I did talk about it with Robin last season as we were kind of evaluating prospects that came up. Birmingham is where the White Sox have their double A team. How do I put this in a PC way? It is a tough place to hit. It is just really, that almost whole league is just really a difficult environment to hit in. The ball doesn't go anywhere. The pitchers are all pretty good. It's the first time, especially, you know, you go to double A as a hitter, and now you're seeing guys with major league stuff, maybe for the first time. I mean, you've seen some guys in A ball that have a pitch that's really good, can't find the strike zone, and you know you can just take that, throw it out, move on, and hit your fastball or whatever the other pitch is that you can handle there. You get to double A, and all of a sudden, and likely mostly for the first time for a lot of those guys, you're facing starters with two pitches, two maybe, especially the top guys in the systems, major league pitches. I mean, imagine your first go-round, and White Sox fans, I'm going to use Michael Kopech as an example. Imagine you're a prospect for, you know, another ball club. You're making your first go-round at double A, and one of the first guys you see is Kopech. I mean, come on. Couple that with a ballpark where the ball goes nowhere, a league where the environment is tough. So I think, you know, especially as we evaluate White Sox prospects over the next couple of years, I think taking that environment into account, at least from a power perspective, is something to look at, right? Something to keep in the back of your head. So just two things there that I kind of wanted to point out. I think Tim, because of the quickness of his bat, and because what I think he'll fill out a little bit some too and keep the athleticism play short. I think he's got a little bit more power than we might have thought. That said, I think he was, in a lot of circumstances, trying to figure out what he did well at the plate, right? He's a little swingy. He's a little hacky. Swings a little bit more than he probably, in his, you know, as he develops, probably will later on. So maybe that applies a little bit too. I mean, as you're more selective, dangerously selective at the plate, I think you find more power there too. The more stuff you swing at, the more crap you swing at, the less likely you are to do damage on a baseball that's, you know, a pitcher's pitch. So the fewer of those you swing at, the more selective you're able to be. I think in return, you see some power go up too. So maybe that's a part of the lack of power that we saw with Tim Anderson in the minor leagues, and now it's kind of burgeoning, blossoming, and, you know, bubbling toward the top. 312-591-8900. We can take a quick break. We come back, we'll send you right over to Ed and DJ to get you going for White Sox baseball that's coming up here on WLS AM 890.
John Array back bright and early Monday morning, 6 a.m.
There may never have been a President Donald J. Trump if Keith Richards had gotten his way. Details 6:35 Monday, John and Ray, WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. Closing things up here on the show. Sox fans, you can celebrate a special birthday or anniversary or even host a business function in a Diamond Suite at a White Sox game. Diamond Suites can accommodate groups from 10 to 100 guests. Single game packages include a great food menu as well as beverages and parking passes. To purchase, visit whitesox.com/group. Got a ball game coming up here in just a couple of minutes. One piece of news and notes you've probably already seen, but in case you missed it or maybe you were away for the week or whatever, wanted to make sure you had it here on White Sox Weekly. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing our jobs. On Tuesday, the White Sox made 5 roster moves, sending Carson Fulmer, Lucas Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez, Yoan Moncada, all to AAA Charlotte. Michael Kopech was reassigned to minor league camp. So there you go, your top 5 prospects in the organization. All sent to minor league camp in AAA for the case of Fulmer, Moncada, Giolito, and Lopez. And we'll see where Michael Kopech ends up. Though I wouldn't be all that surprised if you see him in high A ball. We'll have to see. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, listen, the ending the season at AA is definitely the goal for him development-wise, or at least I would imagine. I don't want to put anything on him or on the White Sox, but you know, you can kind of see that arc and where it plays out. As for where he starts his minor league year, We'll have to wait and see. On Wednesday, there were a couple more roster moves. Adam Engel and Tommy Canley go to Triple A Charlotte. Engel has, I think, really impressed this spring. I've really liked what I've seen out of him. We'll see whether he's able to kind of reestablish a more offensive season. He certainly did bounce back in the last, I don't know, like 2 months last year in the minor leagues after having a really solid. He was the Arizona Fall League Player of the Year in 2000. What would that have been? Last year was 14. Yeah, it's 2014. He was the AFL Fall League Player of the Year and had a really good minor league season, kind of broke onto the scene as one of the White Sox top hitting prospects before all those trades. Jace Fry, the two-time Tommy John survivor, is with Roberto Pena going back to minor league camp. Well, they'll wait for their assignments. Not sure on those yet, but wanted to make sure you had those pieces of news and notes. I'm sure you'll hear Ed and DJ talk about a couple of those guys throughout the broadcast this afternoon. Dylan Covey and Josh Tomlin are your starters coming up, and we'll bring you that game in just a couple of minutes. You can join the White Sox team by becoming a member of the free WhiteSox.com blacklist. Get the latest breaking news, see the latest video features, and enjoy special ticket offers and more. Visit WhiteSox.com/blacklist to register today. That does it for us. We are on our way out. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate you chiming in. You can get at us at always at the mailbag. At C1 McKnight is the Twitter handle. You leave us your thoughts and comments and pieces on the White Sox. We'll get to them on our next White Sox Weekly, which is coming up on Saturday. Big season preview show. I got a feeling Jason Benetti could join the show. Thanks to Dan Hayes of CSN Chicago. Thanks to Tim Anderson of, you know, the White Sox. Thanks to Tyler and Michael and Don for helping us get us on air. White Sox baseball is next on WLS AM 890.
You've been listening to White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. Listen every week for White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890, the proud home for White Sox baseball.